Actually, I was thinking about that song a few days ago, and I said, man, it's been a long time since they sang that. And that's a blessing. We shall see Jesus, and I'm looking forward to the Lord's return, and it could be any day. Amen? If you will, in your Bibles, turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 1, and we'll begin reading in verse 11. Appreciate whoever made the muffins. I'll eat those here in a minute. But they're sitting on the platform, on the organ. They're yours? Well, I appreciate whoever made them. I'm going to try one of them. Amen. It's good to have visitors with us this morning. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. Again, Paul writing here to the churches of Galatia, this region of Galatia. In verse 11 he says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you've heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither when I went up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again unto Damascus." Going down there, it says in verse 23, it says, But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in time, talking about Paul, that he which had persecuted us in time past, but now preacheth the faith which was once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today for your love. We thank you again for the opportunity to meet together in your house. And we do thank you for the life of Paul, and Lord, the great difference you made in his life. I pray today that we would see his great testimony. And if there's some here this morning who have never received the change that Paul had, we pray today they might receive that change. They might receive the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. We ask this in your name. Amen. We've studied this first chapter already in the last several weeks, and just want to continue that if we can this morning. But we know in the book of Galatians, again, that Paul is writing here, and he says in verse 4 that the gospel absolutely makes a difference today in our lives. He says it delivers us from this present evil world. Can I tell you that Christianity is Christ, and that Christ makes a difference? Let me put it differently, that Christ will make a difference in your life. In fact, He is all in all. Christ is all we need. And He absolutely will make a difference, not just in our eternity, not just for heaven, and not just throughout all eternity, but He makes a difference now. He said, "I came to give life and give it more abundantly." And He says to them there in the remaining verses, He said, "Listen, I am absolutely called of God to preach the gospel, that I don't seek to please men, but I seek to please God." Verse 10 says, "For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." In fact, we turned to another verse last week or a couple weeks ago, and He said to them, do you hate me because I tell you the truth? Paul just simply preached the truth. He preached the Bible. He preached the gospel just as it was, just as it is. And then we see, and he gives his testimony. I want to remind you today, no matter your testimony, if you're saved this morning, your testimony is very powerful. I remember as a kid getting up and people getting up and giving their testimonies. And, you know, an evangelist would come through our city and preach in our church, and he'd get up and talk about how he was saved from a life of open debauchery and immorality and drug use. And I mean, he'd go through a big long list and how God radically saved him and gave him a new life. And by the way, he will. Amen. He will. Absolutely. And boy, just give that. I'd always stand back and say, boy, I wish I had a testimony like that. That's stupid, you know. You know, I'm so thankful I was raised in a Christian home. I'm so thankful that I was sheltered in that Christian home and that my dad made me obey and that I was saved when I was 6 years old. And for the most part, not that I was perfect, but I messed up a few times in high school and lost my testimony a couple times. But God blessed that. And I'm so glad today that I'm saved. I'm so glad that I've had a life that hasn't, for the most part, been wasted. Amen? Isn't it great to be saved? And no matter whether your testimony is of open debauchery and immorality or whether you were raised in church, your testimony is very powerful. I mean, God has blessed me immensely. Both physically, both spiritually, both relationally. I'm so glad for my wife and kids. And I have great children that for the most part I haven't had to grab by the neck yet and choke. It's been a great experience. I have two teenage boys. Three and my boys that are mine, man, it's been wonderful. It's great. I tell them, as a young preacher, I would counsel parents and they'd say, oh, preacher, just wait till your kids get to be teenagers. I said, I can't wait. I had the most fun with my dad when I was a teenager than any part of my life. That's the way it ought to be, amen? Amen. Train up the child in the way he should go when he's old, he won't depart from it. Hello? Amen. What a radical difference, what a great difference Christ makes in our life. What a great change He makes in our life. And boy, there's no greater story than the Apostle Paul and how God made such a great difference in his life, a great change in his life. What a powerful, powerful testimony. The Bible tells us here that first off, Paul says that he was a persecutor of the church, that he was an enemy of God. Can I tell you and clarify something for you? The Bible says that we are at enmity with God when we are lost. When we are born into this world, we are born enemies of God. I said, preacher, that's a little rough. Jesus said we were children of the devil. Boy, he said, you're of your father, the devil. Talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees, but talking to lost people. Boy, that's pretty rough, preacher. You shouldn't say that. I'm telling you right now, you're in one family or the other. You're either a part of the family of God or you're part of the family of Satan. I said, preacher, boy, that's real rough. That's what the Bible says. Man, I'd rather be a part of the family of God, amen, and have a family like this. Isn't it great? Enemies of God. We mentioned on our anniversary Sunday that God has greatly blessed our church, and we've held by the stuff, we've stayed by the stuff. We are fundamental, independent Baptists. We're proud of it, no matter what 2020 may say. I don't know if any of y'all have seen that program, but what a load of malarkey. And I tell you, those preachers on that, and that if you watched it, those preachers made great mistakes, and they are wrong, and those people should be in prison for what they've done. But to lump all independent Baptist, fundamental Baptist churches together, can I tell you, we are independent Baptists? You can't lump us together. That's why we're independent. That means we're not connected to each other. Hello? Each independent church will be different from the other independent church. And that lady on 2020 just couldn't get it. And man, don't go watch her on YouTube or something. Don't give them any more ratings. Man, it was terrible. You're talking about the persecution of those who do stand for the Bible, who do stand for the literal interpretation of the Bible. The literal interpretation of the Bible. Who do stand for the fundamentals of the faith. And I said on anniversary Sunday, I said, just wait and listen. It's already happening. We are not politically correct. If you believe the Bible from cover to cover, just as it says, you believe just what it says, you are not politically correct. This Bible's not politically correct. But I can tell you, it's the greatest roadmap of all times. And if you'll live by it, it will change your life for the good. For the good. The Bible does tell us how to raise our families. It does tell us how to discipline our children. And yes, if you're using corporal punishment, which we have in our home, and you bruise that child, you are wrong for that. Hello? It's one of the things they pointed out in that show. You're wrong for that. Amen. We don't believe in bruising our kids. Now, every once in a while we may do it accidentally, but it would be an absolute accident. And it would be on the Board of Education to the seat of understanding in the proper spot. But my intention when I spank my child is not to bruise them. Amen. Not in any way. Going to leave a little red whelp down there. My intention isn't to bruise them. My intention is to teach them and use the Board of Education to do so. The Bible, the book of Proverbs makes it very clear that we should use the Board of... Can I tell you, don't go to Spock to learn how to discipline your kids. But when you use the Board of Education, you should never do it in anger. You should never do it when you're mad. Hello? Then you become the bully. I don't believe in using your hand either. I think you ought to use an object of some sort. My dad used a Nakona factory belt, about that thick. He tried to use a board, but my backside was so bony it broke the first time he used it. That's another story for another day. But we're talking about persecution. In this day, we absolutely see it on ABC. I mean, just openly attacking and generalizing and lumping together the independent Baptist movement. Can I tell you, we ought to love each other. We ought to be compassionate. We ought to teach the truth in love, preach the truth in love. Absolutely. But we're going to go by the Bible. Amen. I won't address the other things in there, but we just see the persecution going on. And that persecution will continue. Paul was a persecutor of the church. He persecuted the church. In fact, he consented to the murder of Stephen in Acts chapter 7. He consented to it. He held the coats of those who stoned one of the first deacons of the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. I mean, he consented to it, stood there while they stoned this man to death. He breathed out threatenings and slaughterings according to Acts chapter 8. In Acts 22, in his own confession, he says that he had voted to kill believers, that he had voted to persecute believers, that he had voted to believers, to their life to be taken. This is the Apostle Paul. I've had many say to me, "Preacher, you know, I've done some terrible things in my life. I've done these various things in my life, and I don't know that God could ever love me." Can I tell you that God loved Paul, who he renamed, his name was Saul, who renamed Paul. God loved Saul. He was a murderer. God loved him and saved him, transformed his life. And I'm telling you today that God loves you. And that God absolutely, absolutely will forgive you. If he'll forgive Saul, he'll forgive you. See that he was zealous in his Jewish religion. He thought Jesus Christ was an imposter. He was a very zealous prosecutor and persecutor. He went after him. He didn't do it halfway. He did it all the way. He was respected by those of the religious leaders of that day. He was taught by Rabbi Gamaliel, a very influential leader and teacher of that day. I'm talking about he was their A number one hitman. Number one. We know in Acts chapter 9 that he was on his way to Damascus to persecute the church there in Damascus. And while on that road, Paul, who then was named was Saul, had a great experience. It says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughterings against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way," talking about Christians, "whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." I'm in Acts chapter 9, verse 3. "And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?' And he said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.' And he, trembling and astonished, said, 'Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?' And the Lord said unto him, 'Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do.' And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him unto Damascus, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink." We see Saul had a great experience on the road to Damascus. He saw Jesus. He saw Jesus. And I will tell you tonight, this morning, that seeing Jesus will totally transform your life. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ, and it totally transformed. Here was a man who was murdering and killing Christians. Here was a man who was persecuting the church. And suddenly, in almost an instant, his life was totally changed. His life was totally changed. And what a change was made. Why was the change made? Why the change? Well, Saul was no longer Saul. He was Paul. He had been changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. His past conduct as a persecutor, plus the dramatic change in his life, proved that his message and ministry were of God and not of his own. His conversion, what happened? In Galatians chapter 1 again, we see that, "For you have heard of my conversation time past of Jewish religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." I mean, he was a persecutor. "And profited the Jewish religion above mine equals in my own nation, and being more exceeding zealous of the traditions of my father." I'm telling you now, he was all out, all in all out for his religion. But look what happened. Verse 15. "But when it pleased God," can I tell you that God did the change? Paul didn't make the change. God did it. "When it pleased God," God did the work. Remember when old Jonah, some of you, and we don't have time to go back, but Jonah, back in the Old Testament, was called of God to go to Nineveh. And God told Jonah, "Go to Nineveh and preach to them." And boy, Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to go up and preach to those heathens up there. And so Jonah got in a boat and he went the opposite direction. Remember the story? And y'all, most of you know the story that the great storm came up and, they were emptying the boat. One of the things I always like to remind people, man, these boats weren't like the boats we have today. A lot of us have the, idea of a boat being, the things we take a cruise on. You know what I'm talking about? Like, 2 football fields long. Alright, most of these boats were like 25, 30 feet long, wooden vessels. And here they are in the middle of the ocean, and the waves are coming up and crashing in. I mean, they are about to sink. They take everything out of the boat. I mean, they lighten the load to try to keep that boat from sinking. I mean, they got 5-gallon buckets, and they are getting at it. They're wooden 5-gallon buckets, but they're getting at it. I mean, they're trying to get the water out of that boat. And Jonah finally says, "Hey, listen, I'm the one that's caused this. I have totally disobeyed God. And if you'll just throw me overboard, all things will be all right." Well, they kept trying to get the water out of the boat. They didn't want to throw Jonah overboard. Finally, they did. They threw him overboard. And the Bible says, the wind stopped, the storm stopped, the waves stopped. Isn't that amazing? And what happened to old Jonah? You know the story? A whale came and swallowed him. And he spent 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of that whale. Why? He didn't want to go preach to those lost people in Nineveh. When finally the whale spit him up and he went to Nineveh and preached, he was reminded of God. God said to him, "Salvation is of the Lord." There in Jonah chapter 2. Salvation, Jonah, it's not up to you whether you preach to the people in Nineveh. It's up to me. Jonah, it's not up to you whether or not those people get right with God and turn themselves around and get saved. It's not up to you. It's up to me. And can I tell you, here was Paul the apostle who was persecuting the church, who was killing Christians. And can I tell you, maybe in our eyes, he would be the least likely person that we would witness to. Hello? He might be the least likely. I mean, in fact, at that point, you wouldn't want to witness to him because you'd be thrown in jail, right? I mean, it's not an effort that we would do. It's not an effort that, I mean, if we were told to witness to him, we would be going, I don't know, Lord, what's going to... But can I tell you that God can and will save anybody? And God saved Paul. God saved Paul here in this great experience he had on the road to Damascus, as well as in Ananias' house. What a great experience he had. God saved him. Salvation is of the Lord. Can I tell you, you can't save yourself? You can't work your way to heaven? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not a works lest any man should boast. Salvation is of God. God did it by His grace. He saved this man. It says, and called me. Verse 15 says, and called me by His grace. And God saved Saul. Salvation is by God's grace. We know that God calls through His Word. God called to Paul and he got saved. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth? It is the choice of man to accept or reject the light. Paul got the light. He accepted. And because of that, today we have over half our New Testament was written by the Apostle Paul. What a great difference from a man who was a persecutor and a murderer to being, if not probably, the greatest apostle, and if not probably the greatest preacher who ever lived except Jesus Christ Himself. God did a great miracle in Paul's life. We notice that in verse 16 again it says, to reveal His Son. What? Verse 16 says, to reveal His Son where? In me. We understand and we know that salvation from God comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And though Paul had all the outward ritual down, and though outwardly he lived a life that was, look there with me and look over in Philippians chapter 3. And though he lived a life outwardly that was unblameable, he lived a life above reproach. In Philippians chapter 3, it says there, finally, my brethren, verse 1, rejoice in the Lord to write some things to you. And go down to verse 3, for we are the circumcision, worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Verse 4, so he said we shouldn't have confidence in the flesh. Verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law. Look at that little word there in verse 6. Blameless. That means no one could outwardly point to where Paul had broken the law. I dare say that your wife or your husband could point at you and say, I tell you what, this guy has broken the law a few times. I'm talking about maybe the speed limit as well as the law of God. Hello? Paul said nobody could point to him and say that. Outwardly a good man, huh? Outwardly lived the law of God. He said, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is the law, blameless. Verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung as sewer, that I may win Christ. And being found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, not sticking out my chest and saying, look what I have done, look how I have lived, Not counting my own righteousness, which is the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. He says, I'm not relying upon my testimony. I'm not relying upon my righteousness, my right living. He said, I am relying upon the righteousness which we received by Jesus Christ through faith. Salvation is by grace through faith. And no matter how good a life you may live, you may be the goodest old boy or the goodest old girl that's ever lived, but you're not any closer to the Lord if you're relying upon your own righteousness to get you to heaven. It's only through the righteousness of Christ. It's only by believing and putting your faith and trust in the life work of Christ, His life, His death, His resurrection, in that we are able to have our sins forgiven and have a home in heaven. Escape hell. Escape the wrath of God. And our name written in the book of life is by grace through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Paul, who was Saul at the time on the road to Damascus, had that experience. Put his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, God did it for His glory. It says there, verse 24, Galatians chapter 1, and they glorified God in me. I think I would too. It's like, what happened to this guy? This is the guy that was persecuting the church and killing Christians, and now look what's happened. In verse, we see him not only as a great persecutor of the church, But as a believer, accepting Christ as Savior, making that great change. And we see in verse 16 of Galatians chapter 1, it says, to reveal His Son in me and might preach Him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. He didn't sit down after His salvation and start, chatting with other believers. He was actually, and we won't go through all of it, but he went to the backside of Arabia, and there, I believe, the Bible says that he was taught of Christ Himself for 3 years. Man, that would have been something, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be great to be taught by Christ Himself? I mean, I love to hear Brother Henderson preach, and I love to hear Brother House preach, and I love to hear Brother Smith and Brother J.D. Weedo and Brother Stewart, as much Bible knowledge as he had, but just imagine being able to sit down and hear absolutely from the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul had that opportunity. And at his conversion, he went to Arabia, and there he spent time alone with God in verse 17. Spent time alone with God. And then when he returned, he went to Damascus in verse 17. He returned again to Damascus, and then after 3 years, and went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, verse 18, and abode with him 15 days. But the other apostles I saw none, save James, the Lord's brother, verse 20. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by faith unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But listen to this now, verse 23, and I'm done. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in time past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. The man who persecuted us in time past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. From Saul of Tarsus to Paul on the road to Damascus, God made a great change in this man. One who was a persecutor of the church. One who was a murderer of Christians. One who was not just passive about it either. Listen, he wasn't just passive. He wasn't just sitting around saying, oh, I think I'll go out tomorrow and kill me a few Christians. No, he was at it daily. I mean, he was walking miles and miles and miles of road to persecute and kill Christians. But one time he walked, if you would, into Jesus and saw a great light. And there he saw the Lord. Got saved. And then God made a great change in his life. And from one who was a persecutor, now became a believer. And then shared his testimony with others. Said the one who persecuted now teaches and preaches the faith. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. A person who is truly, genuinely born again. A person who has seen Christ. A person who has put their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be a change. And God made a great change in Saul, who now became Paul. This enemy of God was converted and preached. You know what? We need to tell others. And this may be one of those 1, 2, 3 soul winning messages, but I want to again emphasize to you. It's up to us to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's up to us to share our faith with others. And contrary to the world outside here who would like to believe that any road leads you to heaven, there's only one road to heaven. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Christ is the only way to heaven. Period. Let us reach out to others around us. And as Paul was zealous about persecuting Christians, I would tell you this. When he got saved, he was as zealous or more so about telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave his life. In fact, he gave up everything. He gave up his wealth. He gave up his family. He gave up everything that he might win Christ. Everything. Well, we give up very little, don't we? Many times we're scared just to tell somebody about Jesus. Let's tell somebody about Jesus. Let's share our faith. Let's be vigilant about it. Not passive. not passive about our faith, but understanding there's people out there dying and going to hell who need a Savior. And not just to have the home in heaven, but to have a radical change here now, to have a life now that is pleasing to God, but also is better for them. I remind you today that God always has your best interest in mind. And God can change your life for the better now. When a sinner, when a lost person trusts Christ and is born again, he is born free. He has been redeemed, purchased by Christ and set free. He's no longer in bondage to sin and Satan, nor should he be in bondage to a human religious system as well. Can I tell you today that Christianity is Christ? It's all about Him. It's not about us. And today, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you walking with God? How is your life? What would you like to tell me? Are you enjoying your life? I'm not saying if you get saved today that all your problems go away, because they don't. But you have someone to go through with you through those problems. And what a great life we experience as Christians. And what a great life Paul experienced. What a great change was made in him. Have you experienced that change? Christian, this morning, if you've experienced a change, let's be vigilant about telling others. Let's tell somebody about Jesus. Let's all stand. Hymn 153, I surrender.